In the 8th chapter of Isaiah, verses 11 through 13, we read this. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not say, a conspiracy, concerning all that this people call a conspiracy. Nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. End quote. That's Isaiah 8, 11 through 13. There is an unmitigated idolatry going on in the land today. And it hasn't anything to do with statues or stone of marble and wood. It has nothing to do with what we would oftentimes consider to be idolatry. It's much more subtle than that, and it's much more seductive. And that seduction is the seduction of partisan politics. I have long taught, and I wrote in my book, The Overcoming of Counterfeit Christianity, that there are only two realms of human existence. The realm of this present evil age, from which Jesus died to save us, and the kingdom of God, to which God has translated us, having taken us from the realm of Satan, this present evil age, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So there we have it. Two ages, two realms. This present evil realm, present evil fallen age, and the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He didn't come to reform this age. Jesus didn't come to become a political zealot. He didn't come to oppose the Herodians. Jesus did not come to form a political action committee, or to buy a website, or to gather a movement in order to try to create a worldly utopia in a fallen realm. Jesus came preaching and teaching, and by the way, living the kingdom of God. I fear most Christians fail to appreciate this truth, and that's evident today in the fiery, toxic battle currently presently on the political stage. It is stunning how heavenly wisdom and discernment have been set aside by believers on both the left and the right. They close their eyes to the pathological lying and wickedness, the God-hating behavior and policies by both Republican and Democrat parties. It is astonishing how blinding this partisan politics can make a person. An otherwise sane, sober, mature believer, someone who's been in Christ for decades, can suddenly speak of Donald Trump as though he were a saint, which clearly he's not. They speak of him as if he's a God's appointed man of faith and power. And they speak of Joe Biden as if he's Joseph Stalin reincarnated. On the other hand, there are those who speak of Donald Trump as if he's somehow uniquely evil, uniquely pathological, uniquely wicked, when he isn't. Throughout human history, there have been wicked, lying, pathological leaders. And Donald Trump is just the latest and the greatest. We've had them before, and we'll have them again. But they would try to idealize somebody like Bernie Sanders or even Joe Biden. This is blindness is what it is. It's closing one eye in order to participate in a man-made system, like either the left or the right, and then close your eyes to your primary responsibility. Partisan politics has eclipsed the preaching of the kingdom of God. in most churches and amongst most active Christians. Partisan politics and the philosophies thereof and the policies and the agendas thereof have eclipsed the teachings of Jesus in many Christians' lives. The same Lord whom they profess to be Savior and Lord over their life, they deny by their divided loyalties. Listen, it's time to call this for what it is, pure, unmitigated idolatry, and to call for repentance. Christians ought to respect authority. Christians ought to vote their conscience, and strive to be good citizens. But only because we are truly citizens of the kingdom of God. Only because we are ambassadors for Christ. And we ought not pit ourselves against each other, let alone those in the world to whom we are called to bring the gospel, against them, in battle on behalf of man-made political philosophies and policies. One simply cannot serve two masters. Jesus was very clear about that. Whether it's mammon or whether it's this current political agenda and conversation. I don't know, we could even call it conversation. It's madness, is what it is. This current political madness. Yes, I agree. Socialism is ungodly. But so is capitalism. They are both man-made systems and therefore inherently evil. And the present chaos and stress in the political realm is indicative of evil. Why are we so surprised? I know beloved Christians, people that I love dearly, who are just hysterical over the fact that Donald Trump is trying to overturn this election. They post on Facebook day in and day out how appalled they are and how upset they are with Donald Trump's actions. And then I have other Christian believers that I know and have loved dearly for decades who are doing just the opposite, who are defending Donald Trump's actions, who are praying for him that he can overturn this election and maintain our religious liberty. Oh my goodness, folks. Pray for peace. Pray for those in authority. But pray so that God's people may be lights in a world of darkness. What I'm saying to you today is this. If you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, throw away your MAGA cap or your Biden-Harris button, and repent of this idolatry. Repent of this strife, this disunity, this chaos that is worming and slithering its way into the church. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of chaos. The reason that Christians get so caught up in this political realm is because it's better to trust in princes, they say, better to trust in men than in the Lord. They don't recognize that they are already purchased with blood. They belong to someone else. And they belong to another realm. Yes, we live in this present age. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. As I said a few minutes ago, we should vote. We should strive to be good citizens. But we should also remember that our primary loyalty, our undivided loyalty, is to the kingdom of God. And speak and act and live as those who live under the Lord, the authority of the Lord Jesus in his realm. We are not zealots. We are not of them or of us. We are of the kingdom of God. The people of God gathered are to be the temple of God in the midst of pagan temples. We are to be a shining light a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. We are to be showing the world how to live in peace, how to walk in peace with one another. We are to be showing them how to live as citizens of the kingdom of God by caring for the poor, by caring for the widow, by acting justly amongst each other, by caring for those whom the world has kicked to the curb. And we are to stand for individual freedoms, the dignity of the individual as represented in the Trinity, the classic unvarnished, untainted standard for human relationships. In the Trinity, we have the indissoluble relationships among three persons that respects the dignity and the role and the persons amongst each other. The Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son, yet they are one God. That is the standard for all relationships. Diversity, uniqueness in persons and roles, and yet what unity in the church. The church should be standing in perfect unity at this point, praising the God who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why he's called you out for this world. The very word church or ecclesia means a people who have been called out. So I beg you, repent. Repent of this political chaos. It must be hard on you. It must be hard on your system. It must be hard on your body and your mind and your sleep. Repent of it. Find your peace in the only one who can give you peace. Serve the only one who can bring you peace. There were horrible Caesars during the times of the apostolic era. Caesars that put untold numbers of Christians to death. But never once do you find in the New Testament any of the apostles campaigning on behalf of a different form of government. They preached the kingdom of God. They called the people, the Christians, to remember where their true loyalties were and to stand with Christ, to keep your eyes fixed on Christ, and not to be looking to men. So, as Isaiah says, we can quit walking in the way of this people. We can quit crying out, conspiracy, when these people call conspiracy, on the left or the right. We don't have to be terrified. I know Christians who are hysterical now at the thought of Biden being elected. And I know Christians who are utterly depressed at the thought that Donald Trump might be reelected. Nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, he says in verse 12. The Lord of hosts, him you should hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. This is picked up in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. He says the same thing. He tells the people, a group, a region of Christians who are about to undergo persecution, not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of those. First Peter 3:13, he says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, there's the cause right there, righteousness. That's the only realm, that's the only cause for which you should suffer, is righteousness. Not because you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. You are blessed. And then he quotes Isaiah, and don't be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense, not of your political agenda, not of your political stance, but to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet with meekness or gentleness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Listen, this level of toxic conversation among Christians has to stop now. Now, this level of toxicity flowing out of some Christians' Facebook pages and social media and their mouth has to stop now. We are to be givers of life, ministers of peace, ministers of hope, not ministers of threats. We are to be ministers of joy, not despair. God's agenda will continue, no matter who's in the White House, no matter which party controls the Senate or the Congress, no matter what who your mayor is, who your governor is. And it will continue. God's agenda will continue in the world, no matter how long this plague of COVID continues. Lift your eyes, my brothers and sisters. Lift your eyes. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. Cleanse your hands. Get single-minded once again. Purify your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. I'll be writing on this. I will also be speaking on this again soon. So stay tuned. If you're interested in more, I want to give you some background because this is not nothing. This is not new. The church has suffered under the hands of the State Church Alliance. The true people of God, the true followers of Christ, have been suffering under the hands of politicians for 2,000 years. I want you to be aware of your history. I want you to understand where you belong. And I want you to understand that throughout church history, certainly since Constantine, that the church-state alliance, whenever the church got too involved and too close to the state, the state inevitably ended up dictating to the church how to worship, how to function, how to operate, and ultimately created a murderous, exploitive, toxic monster that even put other fellow Christians to death. So I'm calling you out. I'm calling you away from this. I'm calling you and pleading with you to remember where your loyalties are. Your loyalty is cannot be divided. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we await a Savior. Well, stay tuned. Consider what I'm saying. Pray about these things. Meditate on these things. And please, please, be at peace with those around you. Find a way to pray for both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Pray for those in authority in the Congress. Pray for those, but pray for peace. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you, restore and renew you as you do. Amen.